It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
He's really tough. He's really smart. He never stops working. That's what Beducek told me. I said, how's he doing? He said, this man, he loves the people of Ohio. He loves the people in this district. He never, ever stops. It's Ohio's 12th district, and he's going to hopefully be here for a long time. He's never going to let you down. I'll tell you, I see it. I see it. Let me tell you, right from the beginning, Troy Balderson, he is the guy. He is the guy that's going to do things, and you're going to be very surprised. You know, they're talking about this blue wave. I don't think so. I don't think so. Maxine Waters is leading the charge. Maxine.
All right, that was President Donald Trump in Ohio on Saturday night, leading a rally for a lot of purposes, but he was visiting the 12th District. Because there's a special election in the 12th district in Ohio this coming Tuesday, that's tomorrow, and the Republican candidate, Troy Balderson, has fallen behind in the polls, even though President Trump carried Ohio, you know, by, I think, 7 points in the last election. So he's there stumping for Troy Balderson, who's running. He's a state senator from Janesville. He's locked in a tight race with Democrat Danny O'Connor. So you heard part of it, but there's, of course, a lot more to that rally. It's complicated, you know, when you get into political personnel. Every district, every place is unique. And in this particular case, Troy Balderson was not the conservative in the race. He's not the person that Jim Jordan embraced and endorsed, but he was the candidate that came out of that race victorious. He's actually supported by John Kasich, and I think that's maybe the reason why the enthusiasm gap waned. Still, if Republicans are to maintain the House and control of it, Troy Balderson's going to have to win that race, and that's why the president was there. Also, you have to understand, and I know you do, because I tell you often, that the president doesn't always get great advice on candidates. I think strategically he understands Troy Balderson needs to win this race, but Jim Jordan, actually, as you know, is campaigning for Speaker of the House. And as you know, I haven't hidden my enthusiasm for that. So it was pretty amazing Saturday night when Congressman Jordan, who was part of the audience, he wasn't on the schedule. He wasn't planning to be on the stage. He hadn't been asked to be on the stage. In fact, as far as I know, Congressman Jordan has not even ever met President Trump, at least not formally. They've never really talked. Mark Meadows is the one who goes into the White House and talks to the president a lot, talks to him on the phone. And Marcus, you know, the head of the Freedom Caucus, he and Jim Jordan co-founded it. So, but Mark Meadows is pushing Jim Jordan for speaker for good reason. All that to say, President Trump just happened to see Jim Jordan sitting along the side, and he invited him up. And as soon as Jim Jordan came up to the podium, the people in the stadium started chanting, "Speaker of the House, Speaker of the House." It was amazing, the huge chant and roar for Jim Jordan, and you could see the light go on in President Trump's face. You know, as though, you know, this is a guy he'd heard about, but, you know, he'd maybe seen him on television, but didn't really know. Jim then stood up and gave the most wonderful, brief stump speech on behalf of President Trump's policies. It was pretty amazing. And President Trump's face just lit up. So some people are saying that may have been a turning point because prior to this, President Trump has been supporting Kevin McCarthy for speaker, which is not a good idea. I have to tell you, Kevin is, you know, the right-hand man to Paul Ryan, and that should speak volumes, shouldn't it? But he's flown on Air Force One. He's sort of wooed and, I think, flattered the president, and so the president has sort of favored him. And I'm just hoping that that'll be a turning point. Tomorrow is a big election. We have all kinds of primaries this month. And so tomorrow it's Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, and Washington State. We've talked about these a lot. Tomorrow morning, actually, I'm going to talk about the Michigan races in more detail. Tomorrow is the day, but we'll talk about it early in the morning so that you can just kind of think about what you should do. Remember that we have a voter guide, AFA.net, AFAaction.net. You can get the voter guide there, enter your information, and it will help you discern where people stand on the issues. August the 12th, the primaries are in Connecticut, Vermont, Wisconsin, and Maine. There's that special election in Ohio tomorrow. August 21st, it's Alaska and Wyoming. And August 28th, it's Arizona and Florida. And so there are so many races in so many places. And, of course, I can't talk about all of them, but I'm sure trying. And so I'm just counting on you to take responsibility, personal responsibility, to find out who's running and to get the word out. And as I told a listener in Washington State just a few days ago, she was asking me what I thought about the candidates there. I don't know. She described them to me. And I would say generally you want to get the person who holds, first of all, this is not deacon in the church and this is not your pastor. So the rules are different. The things by which you evaluate people, if you think about Romans 8 and the powers that govern, that God ordained, are not necessarily, you know, Christians. God willing, they would be, but they are not necessarily. And sometimes I have to say even Christians are not the best candidates. Not just because you're a Christian doesn't make you a good candidate. I think of Jimmy Carter. I think of words that come easily, but actions are what matter. And so you have to weigh all of that. And remember, you know, in Acts when, now this was choosing an apostle, so this is different, but nevertheless, they prayed and they decided who they should vote for to fill the place of Judas. I guess I would just say if you have a group of Christians in your area, whether you're in Western Michigan or whether you're in Washington State, you could actually swing an election for someone. If you were to agree together to decide on a good candidate and then all support him, you could swing an election and you could cause really good candidates to win these primaries. All right, so that's Ohio's 12th district. It's a special election. An interesting article in NBC. And it's titled, 65 Races Will Decide the House. And it goes through the analysis of it. And, of course, 23 seats are all they need to take it. The prognostications are not good for Republicans. But you know what? You never know. You just never know, do you? Do we know? How could we possibly know? We all thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016, and she didn't. It was shocking. And so now we don't really have a good handle, except we do know that the left is very energized. Very energized and sometimes in dangerous ways. And I want to tell you some of the other things that are happening. Rand Paul, remember when he was attacked by his neighbor? And I think, how was it? 5 ribs were broken, something like that? All kinds of ribs were 6 broken ribs. His recovery was complicated by fluid and blood around his lungs and recurrent pneumonia. Do you know that his neighbor only got 30 days? For doing that. I just think that's surprising, but that's really not what reason I brought it up. The reason I brought it up is because Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundgren Grimes, who's planning on running for governor in Kentucky, said at a rally, according to an Associated Press reporter who was there, that she said, in this rally of Rand Paul, just ask his neighbor, he can be beaten. I just ask his neighbor, he can be beaten. That's Allison Lundgren Grimes, who is wanting to run for governor in Kentucky. I mean, what kind of discourse, what kind of people have we become to say something like that? On the good news side for Republicans, a recent Harvard-Harris poll has recorded a 10-point spike in Hispanic support for Mr. Trump. And they give one example they give is Governor Rick Scott, who is running against Bill Nelson. Ben or Bill, I get them confused, in Florida for the Senate seat. According to a Mason-Dixon poll, he is carrying Hispanics in Florida. And that's not the only example, but there's quite a long article on this about the polling they've done among Hispanics. They are 17% of the nation's where they're the largest ethnic population in the United States, ethnic minority. And of course, unemployment among Hispanics has fallen to its lowest level in decades. And, you know, because of our calls, our interactions with listeners, many of you are Hispanic. You've talked to us about how border security is important to you, too. This is your country, your citizens, and you want immigration laws to be enforced. So there is not that much of a divide. You know, this is the whole point. When we become Americans, we are one family, regardless of color and race and ethnic origin. We pledge to a flag. We pledge to our Constitution. We pledge to a set of values which unite us, and we have a loyalty to protect our children. We have then freedom to build our families, to build, you know, get jobs, to build businesses. We're in this together. And so certainly Hispanic Americans are in the same way. And of course, they've been poisoned by, if they don't speak English, you know, they haven't been here long, they're poisoned by leftist media that just saturated Spanish language airwaves. And so, but anyway, right now it looks like the pendulum is swinging. In 2018, according to the New York Times, there's a record number of lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender candidates running for office. Some states that they cite are, they're usually from liberal areas in the East or West Coasts. They include Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Representative Jared Polis, Democratic nominee for governor of Colorado, Representative Kyrsten Sinema, running in the August 28th primary in Senate primary in Arizona, and then Kansas, and there's a transgender woman running in Vermont, and on it goes. You see, that's the point of that article. More and more LGBT candidates than ever. Wow, where to go now? This I want to talk about quickly. Over the weekend, some riots broke out in Portland, Oregon. If you read the AP report, you think that it's, you know, these icky right-wing alt-right slash Nazis versus these, you know, this is how they characterize the counter-protesters. Made up of a coalition of labor unions, immigrant rights advocates, democratic socialists, and other groups. They included people dressed as clowns and brass band blaring music. Sounds pretty innocent, doesn't it? Except the problem is they wear black masks and carry weapons, and they're known as Antifa. But AP never says that, but they characterize Patriot Prayer and Proud Boys, who I don't know that much about, but they claim they are not alt-right white supremacists. Pop Mob is the name of the coalition of community groups, you know, dressed like clowns, those innocent people dressed in black with weapons. They're the ones fighting these Patriot Prayer and Proud Boys. Proud Boys says, you know, they just want to, this is out of their words, they say, we're here to promote freedom and God, that's it. That's their leader, Joy Gibson. Again, I'm just reading you what I read. I don't know that much about them, and we'll have to do an interview about that. But we do know that anarchy has broken out in Portland. There is a great article about this in the Wall Street Journal. And by the way, we'll put this on our Facebook page. It says, Anarchy Breaks Out in Portland with the Mayor's Blessing. If I have time tomorrow, I maybe we'll read some of this to you. But it talks about the encampment around ICE headquarters, how they treated ICE, how the mayor would not help the ICE workers in any way, how a small group of federal police had to intervene to save people inside that building. And what they found, it said when they came to clear out it was a biohazard cleanup crew that had to clean up that city that had been set up around the ICE headquarters. They found needles and buckets of human waste simmering in the nearly 100-degree heat and a whole lot more. And that brings me to one other thing. My husband and I saw Dinesh D'Souza's The Death of a Nation this weekend. I can't say enough good things about that. And in his movie, Dinesh talks about who the real fascists are. He traces the history of the fascist movement. Of course, Variety is panning his movie. Well, of course they would do that. But I have to tell you, it's excellent. It will help you understand a lot of what you're seeing because it's confusing. It's not what it seems to be. You just read that AP report and you would think there was just innocent anti-fascists coming to fight those awful alt-right people. Same as Charlottesville was characterized. We have to be smart, and one way to be smart is to educate ourselves. And I recommend Dinesh's movie, The Death of a Nation. Go see it if you haven't. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan.
With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered. And now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 855-PSALM-23 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Getting goosebumps. This is Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and Ark Encounter. Now, all this week, we've looked at the claim that our bodies are full of useless evolutionary leftovers. We've seen this argument is, well, useless. All of the so-called useless structures have been shown to have a function. As our last example, we'll look at goosebumps. Now, these bumps form when tiny muscles contract, pulling the hair upright. In furry mammals, this helps increase their fur's insulation. But since it doesn't do that for us, some people say goosebumps are useless. But this muscle action creates extra heat and draws oil to our skin as a moisturizer. They also heighten our sensitivity in a threatening situation. Since we didn't evolve, there aren't useless structures.
Plan your visit to the full-size Noah's Ark at the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky at AnswersRadio.com. And listen to this program again at AnswersRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Just about every major news organization reported on Khalil Cavill, a black waiter at the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Odessa, Texas. Mr. Cavill claimed a diner stiffed him on a tip, left behind a racist message. As you might imagine, there was lots of outrage, rightfully so. The customer was banned from the restaurant. Mr. Cavill was inundated with money and well wishes. But it turns out the story is not true. Mr. Cavill lied. The owner of the steakhouse apologized to the banned customer, and Mr. Cavill, well, he's now unemployed. More often than not, these kinds of stories turn out not to be true. So why does the mainstream media continually get snookered? Well, maybe it's the rush to be first, or it could be something as simple as carelessness. Reporters do make mistakes, or it could be something more sinister, like advancing a false narrative to fan the flames of racial unrest. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. You probably heard her name. Hang on a second. This girl that was appointed by New York Times over the weekend to be an editor. Hang on. Just an amazing story, actually. She is born in South Korea, and grew up in the United States. She spent time at The Verge, which is a technology news outlet owned by far-left Vox Media. She's the author of Internet of Garbage. And so she went to Harvard Law School. She edited the Journal of Law and Gender. Her work has appeared in The Washington Post, The New York Times, The Atlantic, and Motherboard. So here's the thing. Sarah Young is an absolute unmitigated racist. The things that she has said about white people in particular are just amazing. Wishing they were dead. I can't even read a lot of her tweets. She says she calls white people, how can I say this? Dumb, blank, blanking white people. She is now on the New York Times editorial board. She says, blank, blank, blanking white people marking up the internet with their opinions like dogs blanking on fire hydrants. And then she says, listen, there are dozens of these. I could go on and on. I just want to give you the idea. Are white people genetically predisposed to burn faster in the sun, thus logically being only fit to live underground like groveling goblins? And then she has a graph. She makes up about whiteness and then compares it to awful. And she puts on the graph that whiteness is the most extreme of awful that you can be. And she says the science is indisputable. And then she says, but I don't smell like a dog when it rains. You might protest. You wouldn't know, would you? She says, these are inconvenient truths, but we should thoroughly examine them instead of giving it into the PC lie that white people don't smell bad. And it goes on and on. I mean, she has a history of these things that are just absolutely amazing. Well, the New York Times is defending her. They think she's a great pick. Of course, the leftist press is defending her. We find out that Wikipedia has removed all examples of her. She's known for these kinds of tweets. They've removed them from her history. They've locked. If you know anything about Wikipedia, we'll have to do a whole show on that too, which we will. They allow people to sort of edit their own pages, but they have a whole group of editors who quickly take that information and move it back to the worst possible characterization for people that are on the right. I know this personally. I can't. The things they used to say about me on Wikipedia are amazing. So the problem is that Google and all these other things use Wikipedia as their, you know, reference for the biographies of people. I mean, I use it too, because it is the universal, easily accessible, a bit of biographical information on just about everyone. But the problem is Wikipedia is as corrupt as any of the social media sites that we have talked about. But I wanted to mention Sarah Young to put this in context, because it gives you an idea of the kinds of people that are filling the White House briefing room, the kinds of people that are the White House press corps, the people that attended the White House correspondents' dinner where Sarah Huckabee Sanders was so thoroughly slandered while she sat on the dais, you know, as the lady that she was, by that raunchy, vulgar female comedian. This is who are filling the ranks of today's American media. They're the ones writing the stories in the Washington Post, the New York Times, the online, Yahoo, all those things. I'm not saying every one of them. I'm just telling you, this is becoming mainstream. It's mainstream in social media in the Northwest. Whether they work for Google or Twitter is worse than Google. These are the kinds of views held by the people that held those key positions. So that being the context, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's rapidly become my heroine, I could tell you, was in a White House press briefing on Thursday. And Jim Acosta of CNN News, of course, Jim, last we talked, I think on Thursday, Jim was singled out at a rally. I don't know if it was in Florida. People came up behind him as he was doing a live shot and just said, you know, fake news, fake news. And I don't know what else they said to him. I'm sure not everything was kind. And he was, you know, Wolf Blitzer said that. That's terrible. You know, we're not fake news. And they're all upset about that. So Jim Acosta then went to the press conference, the daily press briefing on Thursday, and this is how it went down with Jim Acosta and Sarah Sanders.
He asked you about Ivanka Trump's statement that the press is not the enemy of the people, and she asked you whether or not the press is the enemy of the people. You read off a laundry list of your concerns about the press and things that you feel like are misreported, but you did not say that the press is not the enemy of the people. And I think it would be a good thing if you were to say right here at this briefing that the press, the people who are gathered in this room right now, doing their jobs every day, asking questions of officials like the ones you brought forward earlier, are not the enemy of the people. I think we we deserve that.
I think the president has made his position known. I also think it's ironic.
Would you mind telling us,
I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay,
I politely waited, and I even called on you despite the fact that you interrupted me while calling on your colleague.
Well,
I said it's ironic.
Which is why I interrupted.
I'm trying.
But if you finish, if you would not mind letting me have a follow-up, that would be fine. But
it's ironic, Jim, that not only you and the media attack the president for his rhetoric when they frequently lower the level of conversation in this country. Repeatedly, the media resorts to personal attacks without any content other than to incite anger. The media has attacked me personally on a number of occasions, including your own network, said I should be harassed as a life sentence, that I should be choked. ICE officials are not welcomed in their place of worship, and personal information is shared on the internet. When I was hosted by the Correspondents Association, of which almost all of you are members of, you brought a comedian up to attack my appearance and call me a traitor to my own gender. In fact, as I know, I'm the first press secretary in the history of the United States that's required Secret Service protection. The media continues to ratchet up the verbal assault against the president and everyone in this administration, and certainly, we have a role to play, but the media has a role to play for the discourse in this country as well.
So that's how Sarah handled him. I thought she was amazing. And could I also say, I think Sarah is a model for Christians in this country in discourse with people who really hate us or disdain us or are enemies of our position. Because Sarah confronts, she speaks the truth very plainly, but she does not disparage them personally. She doesn't lose her temper. She keeps a measured, she just is amazing. I think she does it as Jesus would do it, honestly. I really do. It's certainly what I aspired to do when I was debating on television a lot. That's exactly the way I felt. It isn't that we can't fight. It isn't that we have to be nice all the time. Have you heard me say that before? It's not about being nice. Sarah spoke the truth back to Jim Acosta. She spoke it back to him. She related all the ways she personally had been treated by even people in that room who belonged to the White House Press Correspondents Association, who allowed and laughed at the ridicule that was meted out upon her. In particular, and she was the probably most victimized at that correspondence dinner. While she sat there, they enjoyed that. And she didn't cry, she didn't whine, she didn't get angry with them. She just said, most of you are members of that. As that comedian stood there and disparaged me and said all of those things, called me, you know, a disgrace to my gender, you all sat there and listened, and you are part of that. That was powerful. That just sounds like Jesus to me, doesn't it, you? Self-condemnation by the truth being spoken. Sarah was just an incredible example of speaking the truth in the right way. So, but Jim Acosta, not to be, you know, put off, not shamed by anything she said, not to be, you know, acknowledging that maybe they had done a few things, maybe they had sort of twisted things, maybe they had been inhumane, really, to Sarah and others. Maybe. No, that wasn't his response. Here is his response.
Sarah, if you don't mind, if I may follow up, excuse me, you did not say in the course of those remarks that you just made that the press is not the enemy of the people. Are we to take it from what you just said? We all get put through the ringer. We all get put in the meat grinder in this town, and you're no exception. And I'm sorry that that happened to you. I wish that had not happened. But for the sake of this room, the people who are in this room, this democracy, this country, all the people around the world are watching what you're saying, Sarah, and the White House for the United States of America, the President of the United States should not refer to us as the enemy of the people. His own daughter acknowledges that, and all I'm asking you to do, Sarah, is to acknowledge that right now and right here.
I appreciate your passion. I share it. I've addressed this question. I've addressed my personal feelings. I'm here to speak on behalf of the president. He's made his comments clear.
So Jim Acosta, in response to that, now he is trying to force her to say something. I think that's amazing too. Will you not say, will you not declare right here and now that the press is not the enemy of the people? Why, the president's daughter didn't discounted that. Won't you just, right now and here, you need to say that the press is not the enemy of the people. Sarah, huh? The whole world is listening to you. You must say. I mean, this is how totalitarianism and groupthink takes shape. So, and I have to say that most Republicans in the past several years have bowed and groveled when the pressure, oh, well, yes, I'm not saying that. I didn't really mean that. They all do that. That's why we are so encouraged and emboldened when we hear a president who doesn't back down, when we hear a press secretary who doesn't back down, when we hear Kellyanne Conway who doesn't back down, when we see people like Jim Jordan who don't back down, who just press on and speak the truth and say, it doesn't, basically, they're saying, it doesn't matter what you say to me. It's kind of like, this is not martyrdom yet, but it reminds me of Martin Luther, here I stand, I can do no other. I must say, I must speak the truth. Here I stand. And the pressure is becoming enormous. And this is the danger sign of moving to totalitarian thinking, where people then turn on each other and force each other to have groupthink. It's happened in so many countries. History is replete with nations that lost their freedoms, where people ended up turning in their parents for the wrong thing, turning against their neighbors. Is this really what we want? Are we not a land of free speech? Are we not a land promised that we would not be like the land of our founding fathers, primarily in Britain, where King George controlled everything they said and did, where they could not worship freely without being persecuted, how they fled their countries, whether it was Holland or Germany, other countries where they could not speak freely about their faith. This is why they came here. Many of them, firm followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that understanding that they needed to be free in their consciences to serve God and worship Him in the way they felt was biblically accurate, that the government had no right to demand of them certain compliances, they came and they founded this nation based on free thinking, free conscience. Now, when free thinking is a buzzword for, you know, anarchists also, but I'm not speaking of it that way. But we're not afraid of free thoughts. Followers of Christ are not afraid of people thinking whatever they want to think, exploring the possibilities, saying what they think. Honest thinkers should be able to think all kinds of things. I encourage that even among Christians, that if you're having doubts about God or doubts about faith, it's not about shutting down the doubts. It's about exploring them with an open mind. And I've done that myself, and I'm confident that God can withstand any of those doubts. And so I'm confident also that a nation can survive an exchange of ideas. We do not have to shut down people and force them to one way of thinking. You know, we come to Christ voluntarily. God does not demand that we come to Him. He does not give us a choice. He doesn't. He issues the invitation, and then we come or we don't come. And so that's kind of the principle that we apply to our brothers and sisters in this country, meaning in terms of citizenship. It's this American model was based on a scriptural principle about, you know, free will, free thinking. And so now we're getting into this groupthink, this hate speech codes, where Jim Acosta from CNN is demanding over and over again that Sarah Huckabee Sanders repeat after him, the press is not the enemy of the people. Now, you must say it. You must say it. Say it, Sarah. Say it. Say it. The press is not the enemy of the people. And you heard her response. She would not give him that. God bless Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And when you look at stories like the one about the New York Times hiring Sarah Young, who is an absolute racist, who hates white people, who has expressed her hatred over and over again through her tweets, who is now protected on Wikipedia, protected in Twitter. These tweets have been removed, but of course there's a record of them by others who have gathered them. Now she's part of the New York Times editorial board. And you think that she and people like her, like-minded ones in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and CNN are not the enemy of the people, the enemy of this country and its foundings? They want to totally dismantle and reframe and reform the America that the founding fathers crafted. And so that is really, in that regard, they are those that aspire to that and will not allow free speech and will lie to you and make up stories and try to formulate your minds on these issues with lies, and they know that they're lies. They are the enemy of the people. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Gross domestic product, or GDP, is a monetary measure of the market value of all final goods and services produced in a time period. The oft-quoted refrain from the Obama administration was that 2% GDP growth was the new normal for the American economy, and that we should just get used to it. Well, that was flat wrong. The U.S. economy exploded in the second quarter of 2018, with the GDP climbing 4.1%, nearly doubling the 2.2% first quarter growth. Wage increases, however, would put an exclamation point on this economic resurgence.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
I'm Ed Vitagliano. The direction of our country was changed by the presidential election of 2016, due in part to Christian voters. The 2018 midterm elections may confirm that direction or change it again. By voting based on values, Christians bring a godly influence to government. Voter registration deadlines vary by state. Make sure you are registered, and then, on Election Day, make sure to vote. Be an informed voter. Visit AFAAction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide.
Hey, sweet family, this is Lauren from Living Life with Lauren, and it's my heart's desire to be salt and light, just as Jesus instructed his followers to be. I want us to help one another along the way as we face challenges of this life, but going through it together sure does make the road easier, doesn't it? I want to thank you for listening, downloading our podcast, and connecting with me on Facebook at Living Life with Lauren. This is your invitation to join me Saturday evenings at 8 Central Time for laughter and tears right here on American Family Radio.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump has understandably refused to hire so-called never-Trumpers. They are prominent, mostly national security professionals who publicly and scathingly declared during the 2016 election their unalterable opposition to him. Yet Mr. Trump's administration continues to employ and even promote people from his opposition's team. For example, a promotion is reportedly in the offing for top State Department official Brian Hook, who organized the group that put out the Never Trump letter. Andrea Hall, a protege of the notorious Obama propagandist Ben Rhodes, is said to be his replacement. And at least three out of the four of the nation's top intelligence officers are close allies of the ultimate Never Trumper, former CIA Director John Brennan, with yet another possibly getting the intelligence portfolio at the National Security Council. President Trump recently kept several insubordinate subordinates from holding key jobs. He mustn't stop now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The Truth for Youth Bible inspired me and led me to Christ. It has also given me a chance to show others the way to eternal life and the only one who can give it, and that's Jesus. I currently lead a Bible study about the Truth for Youth Bible, and I have around 37 students. I'm hoping with the help of God, I will have 50 to 60 by the end of the year. And can I just say thank you so much for making this book. It has truly changed my life.
All right, that's just one story of the kids that have been moved by the Truth for Youth campaign to get these illustrated New Testaments into the hands of teenagers in public school. We do this every year, and it has been wildly received. And also, many, many lives have been changed. It's National Truth for Youth Bible Week that's partnering with Engage Ministry this year to get these Bibles to students between the age of 13 and 18. And the idea is that we get one of these Bibles to a student who promises then to hand it to another student who's not a Christian. That's how it works. And let me just tell you before I introduce our guests that there are two ways to order this free Bible. And when you order the free Bible, you also get a wristband that says, "Thou shalt not kill," which is the sixth commandment. So there are two ways to do it. You can call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. Or you can visit truthforyouth.com and order it anytime. And joining us is the guy leading this effort. His name is Tim Todd. And Tim, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sandy, it's so good to be with you this morning.
All right. So tell us about the Bible itself that goes to that will be sent to these teenagers to hand to their unsaved friends.
Sandy, this New Testament, it consists of the God's Word translation, Matthew through Revelation, along with powerful comic stories in the front section, graphic novels that deal with the truth about things that young people are up against and facing every day. Things like drugs and drunkenness and peer pressure, things like sexual purity, what the Bible says about homosexuality. We deal with abortion, we deal with pornography, we deal with the truth about things like cutting and sexting and bullying and suicide. The Bible says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And Sandy, we have the students' legal rights on the public school campuses on the back cover of this Bible to let our young people know that they do legally have the right to give Bibles away on campus during non-instructional time.
Tim, how does it work? I mean, you know, we both know that the New Testament addresses all the things you talked about, but not in a simple way. You have to read, you have to reference different passages. So when it comes to talking about sexuality or pornography, how is it say you address that? Do you have pages that address those things and reference scriptures?
What we do is we have storylines, so it makes it very interesting for the young people. The storylines, we will take a subject and then we will incorporate it into a storyline. So from the start to finish throughout the story, it goes to scriptural references throughout the story so that the young people don't lose interest. They are interested in the story and, of course, the graphic novels and the word balloons that have got all of the information that they need to find out. And we bathe all of these stories with the love of Christ, because when you're dealing with things like homosexuality and sexual purity and things that young people and others, of course, are struggling with, that you want to do it in a manner that is not going to be offensive, but instead it's going to draw them by the Spirit of God.
All right, so this year, in addition to the Bible, now let me just make sure that I'm plain about this. Am I correct to say that if you order one of these, or a teen is listening and they want one of these, there's no charge for one Bible to be sent to be shared with someone who's not a Christian?
That is correct. In fact, along with the Truth for Youth Bible, they get an Engage wristband, the number 6 wristband, of course, deals with thou shalt not murder, and to put the message of life into the public school campuses. But they get one free Bible per teenager, per household, and there's no strings attached. If they want to get extra copies, they can get them for a nominal expense. But we do make these Bibles for the young people free of charge, one Bible per teenager.
All right, so now let me just say again, there are two ways to order this free Bible and wristband, and they are by calling 1-800-733-4737. That's 1-800-733-4737. Or you can visit truthforyouth.com, truthforyouth.com. If you're a teenager listening, and I know a lot of homeschool kids do listen to the show, this is something you could do. Surely you must know someone in your neighborhood, someone in your sphere of influence who you think might really enjoy this. It's a comic book. It's engaging. It would start, it would help you to start a conversation. I remember as a teenager, Tim, trying to witness to my friends. And, you know, it's hard when you're a kid. You don't have quite the knowledge and understanding, deep understanding. It's hard to find the words. And I'm guessing that this is a great springboard for discussion for teenagers. So Tim, one last word from you then. What is the goal here, and what do you think you guys have accomplished in doing this over these years?
Well, we also have the plan of salvation in each of the stories. So, Sandy, not only do these young people find out the truth about these things, but even more importantly, it gives them an opportunity to give their life to Jesus Christ. And I actually, in the past 9 months, have received 1,800 decision cards from the Truth for Youth Bible, a decision coupon from young people that have been saved for the first time just in the past 9 months. We've given away in this project 918,000 copies of the Truth for Youth Bible over the past 17 years of the Truth for Youth Bible Project on American Family Radio. And this year, with God's help, we plan to give away 60,000 plus Bibles. And we know that we're going to see a lot of young people not only find out the truth about these things, but they're going to find their way to the foot of the cross. And so many young people will be saved. And that is the goal, to get the Word of God in school, to make soul winners and evangelizers out of the young people that are giving these Bibles away to their friends in school, and for their friends that are not serving the Lord to find their way to the foot of the cross.
All right, that sounds great. National Truth for Youth Bible Week, along with Engage Ministries. And you can do it, you can get them by calling 1-800-733-4737. That's 1-800-733-4737. Or go to truthforyouth.com and order any time. Tim Todd, thanks for your leadership on this, and thanks. It's nice talking to you this morning.
Thank you, Sandy, so much for all you do, and God bless you.
Yes, yeah, same to you, sir. All right, well, so there you go. Isn't that something? That's an antidote. You know, that's like an antidote to all the bad things. Really, there is no other answer besides Jesus. There is no other answer. There are some things humanly we try to do. You know, like if you're hungry, you make food. I mean, there are practical human things that we do to respond to needs. But ultimately, the deepest thirst and the most gut-wrenching crisis we have in Western civilization is the absence of Jesus in people's hearts and minds. So this is, again, a great anecdote for you and for your kids. I have to say that one of the things I liked about Dinesh D'Souza's movie that we saw, The Death of a Nation, a few nights ago, which I'm saying to you, you should go see this. Dinesh makes it clear, really, the biblical foundations and also not ambivalent foundings of the country based on the person of Jesus Christ. That's certainly probably why his movie's being panned by critics. Could I just say that if you're thinking about going to a movie, don't rely on those. Don't rely on Rotten Tomatoes and other things like that. I'll tell you what you can. Think of it this way. The rating system or the review system set up is sort of like the way our media functions now. So in other words, the mainstream media will filter out all the stories they don't want you to hear. Oh, it's not necessarily that they lie about the stories, although they do plenty of that too. It's as much as anything, it's what they leave out. But then when they do tell a story, just like I read that AP report to you earlier about that riot in Portland, Oregon, and where they're saying, you know, the people protesting were just, you know, an assembly of people dressed like clowns and, you know, playing instruments. But it's just actually Antifa in black and masks with weapons. But if you listen to the AP, it's just this nice, friendly group of, you know, people who got together who don't like fascism. It's a total twisting of what is really happening. So that's what happens with movie reviews. They, the powers that be, the left, that strong strain that seems to fill all of, you know, every corner of American life, is in the business of actively discouraging you from seeing certain movies. I often see, if I see like one star on something or two, I will usually read between the lines. Now, it can be true. It can be true that a movie's panned and it's a bad movie. So this is not an exact science, but a lot of times if I see a movie that's being panned by critics, then I go, oh, that must be good. There must be a reason. And so I would not read those reviews. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I'm sure there are some reviewers like Folks on the Family that are more trustworthy. But I would not listen to the others. Oh, you could look at them and to get clues as to why you probably would like the movie. But I'm telling you, The Death of a Nation is a really fine movie, and I just think you should consider seeing it. Tomorrow is the primary, and the primary is important. It's the primary in Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, and Washington State. Other primaries are coming up very quickly, and I'm begging you, I really am begging you to vote. But not just vote. I'm not one of those people that says, just go vote no matter what. No, if you don't pay attention and you don't know what you're doing, don't go vote. Would you please stay home? What I'm asking you to do is go to afaaction.net and check out your candidate. I'm asking you to use other methods. Find out who's supporting the candidate. That tells you who's opposing the candidate. That tells you as much as anything. If that's all you find out, it should speak volumes. And then vote for the best person possible, the one who holds your values as much as is humanly possible and is electable. Again, just because your next-door neighbor is a deacon in your church and decides he wants to run, but nobody knows who he is, he's not articulate, he's probably not a good candidate. I'm giving you a hypothetical, of course, because political office is not the same as running for deacon in the church or elder or choosing a pastor. It is totally different. We want the very best person possible, and it isn't always a Sunday school teacher who can win or who can be a great, a leader in the secular arena. So just use wisdom. God will give you wisdom, but you have to do some research in order to make a good judgment. And then share with your friends, spread the word, and energize your own people, because if you don't, this is what's at stake. You know, I think of the Jim Jordan candidacy as Speaker of the House. I think I've explained this, but if I need to explain it again, let me say that these races will determine who's going to be Speaker of the House. We can already see what a Speaker of the House like Nancy Pelosi would do. She would hurl us off the cliff in leftism. We have seen what a Speaker like Paul Ryan would do. Nothing, which is actually helping the left move us to the left. That's why a race like Jim Jordan for Speaker is so crucial. A man who understands, he's kind of like a Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It's like a line in the sand, firmly stated, but not offensive, offensively, winsomely stated. That's Jim Jordan. And if a man like that were Speaker of the House, it would be a different world, because the House would be actually enacting policies that would promote and reinstate principles that are part of the founding principles of this country. If we have a second, I want to play that clip of Jim Jordan being introduced by the president in Ohio just a few days ago. Let's listen to it.
You're supposed to be vacationing on the Tallahassee Trail, but he was actually in Argentina. I don't know. Jim, do they have a Tallahassee Trail in Argentina? I don't think, right? No? No, right? Jim Jordan, how great is he? Hey, come here, Jim. Come here, come here.
President's a little taller than me. Thank you. Think about this. In 18 months, regulations reduced, taxes lowered, Gorsuch on the court, the economy growing at a record rate, unemployment at its lowest in 20 years, Kavanaugh's on deck on the court, we're out of that crazy Iran deal, the embassy is going to Jerusalem, and the hostages have been returned from North Korea. That's what's happened under the president's leadership. Thank you.
All right, that was Ohio just a few nights ago. Did you hear the people just spontaneously chanting? That's what's at stake in these primaries. That's what's at stake. Please vote. Please pay attention. I'll be back tomorrow, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.